It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Love takes the snap, fires, and it's picked off. Hewitt to his left, 40, 30, 20, cutting inside the 20 of Green Bay, and Neville's got the ball inside the 15-yard line on the pick.
The first of three turnovers that was made in the course of this game. Unfortunately, you lose 24-22 versus the Packers. But within that, I think there was still a lot of good play. This was not quite as abject a failure like
a
loss. Like compared to the Vikings game where you got
whooped. Yeah.
But now, I mean, you've had two losses, right? Mm-hmm. I said abject failure. Wait, do you think that there was failures in the course of some of these wins?
No, there's a couple play. Here's how I would put it when we talk about who hooped. I think we're grading on a curve.
Certainly.
Like, you know, when you had to take that organic chemistry final in college.
Never did that.
That kind of curve. Where like a 45 is an 80. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. I view this more, and it might just be a whole grip of honorable mentions. Maybe we don't actually have a specific Hooper necessarily this week. But no, I think there's some people to give some praise to.
And absolutely.
It's the reverse of the Jeff Van Gundy quote, because I think there is opportunities to praise in defeat, which you would appreciate in victory.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I do want to make sure that we highlight the people that played well. And maybe just maybe the man up top there, Neville Hewitt, needs a little bit of appreciation. And I will raise my hand, because I had that thought in that moment, but a little bit further in the game, where I was like, okay, I at least need to get on here and apologize to Neville Hewitt. So I will speak directly to camera. And Neville, if you are listening, my bad, dog. I was out here talking about you like you could not cover. And of course, in certain circumstances, right, like it's not like they had you necessarily manned up having to run with folks. Mm-hmm. But they got him in zone, and he ranged decently. Like, he handled his own. And similarly, Jake Hansen, like, they made some plays in addition to that, right? And we knew that they had capability of, you know, being run stoppers and being that type of guys. And they had some misses, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But we talked a lot about how, you know, coverage was not really in his wheelhouse and those types of things. And he handled himself pretty damn well against a team that we knew was going to be capable of trying to attack that portion of the field. So Neville Hewitt, my bad, dog. I think you handled your business.
It's on me.
I think for the most part, you handled your business. Being backups, knowing that you were coming in, mostly special team players typically, you came in, you handled up on a unit that did pretty damn well against the Packers.
If you ask me yes or no, the answer is yes, he hooped. There were some issues, and I talked about them earlier in terms of giving up, you know, damn near 6.5 yards per rush to Josh Jacobs, but yes, if you said it. To me, there were two guys that were absolute win, loss, whatever. You got to say they hooped. And that is Tim Settle and Joe Mixon.
Tim Settle, that dude. Man, Tim Settle
a hell of a game.
There was a moment where I was like, damn, I was doing all this worrying about where's Nico Autry. Tim Settle right here. Tim Settle said, what are y'all talking about Mario Edwards being suspended for? I'm right here.
Yeah.
Why are y'all worried? I got it. And it feels like, that is the dude who operates in some way as starting defensive tackle next to Fatu Kasi. And, of course, it's going to be a rotation. All these dudes are going to factor in. But, like, in my mind, I still view things in depth charts. Maybe that's just the way that it works. Tim Settle feels like he's up there because he consistently shows up. And it's not just this week. It's been weeks prior as well where Tim Settle Jr. has been showing up. So, shout out to Settle. He absolutely deserves that.
Absolutely. To me, he was probably one of the best players on the field. Another one was Joe Mixon. You know, we talked about it at the start of the show when we're talking about, you know, we have our answer on the offensive line, and it is bad. Joe Mixon, the other part of the answer is Joe Mixon makes the run game look good. It's Joe Mixon. Like, it's him. Damian Pierce didn't do very much. Nobody did very much. But when Joe Mixon was carrying the ball, he was hooping. I mean, he is just the guy.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You got into the red zone in a game where you were not throwing the football well, and knowing the way that this team has had issues running the football, obviously outside of when Joe Mixon has played, and I was like, ooh, man, they should be able to lean on the run. And Joe Mixon was just like, no. We got it. Like, at one point, I turned to Sean and Clint and guys that were watching the game up here because I enjoy coming up here and watching it. And I'm like, okay, so it's just the Joe Mixon zone, not the red zone.
Exactly.
Like, they were just like, give the ball to Joe Mixon. We all know what's going to happen. You all know what's going to happen. And yet and still, you can't stop him because he is that guy. And they had some instances where they blocked it up well. I don't want to make it seem like the offensive line was bad the entire way. But, I mean, obviously, by and large, if you grade the scale, it was not a passing grade, I say. But, like, they had those moments, and Joe Mixon takes a good blocked play and makes it a great play, and he takes a probably not great blocked play and makes it into something.
Yeah.
Right?
No, he and Tim Settle, like, they are the valedictorian and salutatorian, you know, in terms of, like, who hooped. There are some others where, and that's why I said you got to kind of grade on a curve. I thought Jalen Petrie was pretty good.
Jalen Petrie is an opportunity for him to be physical. Yeah. You know that he is a dude that enjoys physicality. He embraces that. It's one of the reasons why I think he has a good place within the imagination of this head coach and the defensive coordinator. Yeah. Those guys like and encourage physicality, and he brings that in spades. I think also one of the things is we talk about him in coverage, and I think we have to be very exact with what we're talking about. When he gets to play in zone, and when he gets the kind of play where he's looking back towards the quarterback, he's pretty damn good. That is what facilitated the interception, was him being able to, in some ways, kind of bait Jordan Love and then break on the football and then tip the football. And then Neville Hewitt makes a solid
grab
pressures too on it. And he blitzes as well. But that's the physicality coming back into play here. And obviously the speed off the edge. But now when he is forced to cover more in man, more press, then he gets into some issues, right, with that back pedal and all those things. But when he's allowed to kind of play downhill as he is, whether it's going in there and attacking the quarterback and pass rushing, or whether it's going in there and stopping the run, or even breaking down on a football in zone, he can play pretty well in that circumstance. So I did want to give him that love there.
And I don't know if you have any others, but a couple of others that popped into my mind, and this is truly, okay, well, it's not exactly something that's going to say, oh, okay, absolute game changer. But Tommy Townsend made a very, very big play at the end of the game. That's on me. That was a potential game winner despite it all. You know, despite it all, you could have won because of what he was able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He gave you some good field position situations in a game where you really needed it.
You needed it.
In fact, can I just go as far as like pulling back to Frank Ross?
Yeah, because the special teams in general.
Dude, that kickoff situation, I was so confused when you get the 15 yards on the kickoff. And I don't think I ever realized that the kick out of bounds was a penalty assessed based off of the kickoff place. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just a spot, as just like the touchback.
Yeah.
They determined that it went to the 40. No, it's 25 yards from the place where you kick.
Yeah.
And so I think Kaylin Kaler wrote a great piece where she talked to, I believe, was it Dare Ogunbowale about this, and he was detailing how they knew that worst case scenario, if it goes out of bounds, it's going to the 25.
Yeah.
And then if you're able to kind of kick it in bounds or like have it stop in the end zone, it'll go to the 20, right? Mm-hmm. Without rolling out, you can get to the 20. So like I think he knew uniquely how to game the system in that way. He knew exactly what he needed, and they got great field position. You talked about the punting, but also in that situation, I got to give
He had a good day all around
to the special teams coordinator.
Yeah, Will Anderson, how are we feeling about that?
I thought he was good.
He was good. A couple of problems maybe in the run game, but everybody did.
Sure.
You know, on the interior. But I thought Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, for that matter.
Absolutely. Like, they continue to apply pressure. They continue to get to the quarterback, and Two of your turnovers there, because the other one was the punt. The two interceptions were in large part what we talked about with Jordan Love. The weakness that he has there is he's a little bit of a gunslinger. Yes, he can throw some incredible footballs. We saw him throw that touchdown to Tucker Kraft on a frozen rope. Just he got that thing in there, right?
Inches away. I think it was Danielle Hunter, right? And almost to
no, that was Kalen Bullock.
That almost tipped it.
That almost came back and got it from the safety position, but. You also saw when he was pressured, he chucked that thing up there. And the guys that we're talking about with pressure were absolutely Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr., both of those guys adding a sack to their totals as well in this game. But they got in that dude's face. They made it tough on him, and then he sailed a couple of footballs that you were then able to capitalize on. And so they definitely deserve credit. And also deserving credit is your man, Kalen Bullock, because, oh, my God, he gets up.
Yeah.
Like I did. I was so impressed by his capability in the ranging in the defensive backfield. And, again, it comes to something that you've talked about that is kind of nebulous and you can't really put your finger on, but he just seems to have attracted the football.
Yeah.
And so that is something that I don't have to understand. I will go ahead and just agree.
It just happens.
I don't have to understand exactly how it happens. I just salute the fact that the ball does come to him in some of those ways.
Anybody else for you? Because now we're getting into some like real reaches here. But
yeah, you want to do some honorable mentions real quick? Some guys.
John Weeks.
Okay, that wasn't even.
when you lose a game like this, you play that
every week.
It's every week. Pencil it in. It ain't gonna be a bad snap. Whether it's extra points or kickoff or field goals or punts, it's gonna be right on the money. How about John Weeks with a hoop?
Some honorable mention: Damian Pierce. And not even just as a running back, like a return.
No, the return game. Was nice.
Return was nice.
45?
I think so. I'll have to go back and look. He definitely had a nice return. Plus, I think one of the things that was nice for me, I think Seth has asked this question a little bit during the season, is does he still have that ability to break tackles? Because that's one of the things that you could point to that makes him special. With any player, there's kind of the general stuff and then the things that make them special. And Damian Pierce's physicality and ability to break tackles is one of those. Mm-hmm. It seemed like you lost a little bit of that. It was tough to bring him down in this game.
42 yards. That's nice.
That was one of the things that I noticed when watching it, man. Like, they tried to get him around the ankle on one of those runs where he kind of broke it. He fell forward. He wasn't able to keep running at that point. But just the fact that he is making it tough on teams to bring him down, I think is something that needs to be, I appreciate. And hopefully that can be something that can be utilized more as you go along during the season.
Yeah.
Let me see some other. Somebody said, can we talk about old boy who thinks he's a WWE wrestler? We did mention Neville Hewitt and the fact that, you can't.
He's
got to
pull another move out.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. Stop. Like, no. We're not doing a bit here.
He got clotheslines.
No, we're not doing bits here, man.
He might get ejected if he clotheslines somebody.
You think?
We're not doing wrestling bits here. Keep tackling. But
hey,
no.
He got a future after the NFL.
We're just not.
Well, he's got a resume, that's for sure.
Yeah, just go to the WWE.
Yeah.
Also, if you can give somebody an honorable mention for one play, Xavier Hutchinson catching that football across.
It was a big one.
It was nice to have somebody on like one of those third down situations come up for this team. All right. That's our best assessment of who hooped in the course.
We tried the best we could.
This game. Yeah, there was a lot of kind of all right play. It really stinks that you could not put C.J. Stroud in here as well. Like, even the course of understanding that he was under pressure, he had some poor throws in this that was really frustrating to see. But I don't know how much I was directing the frustration at him, but it was frustrating regardless. You're listening in loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including a tough Sunday for New York sports, which I appreciated. And also, it's rookie extension day for the Rockets. We'll talk about all of that and more next.